Welcome to Calming Harp, the sounds of David's Psalms. I'm glad you've joined us for this brief moment we share together. I will be playing some of the music that has been brought out of the Psalms. My name is Steve Reese. I play the harp. And over the last several years, I've been bringing the sounds of David's Psalms into recordings. You can find a lot of my music on my website, www.calmingharp.com. I have CDs available and MP3s. And you can go to YouTube. If you go to YouTube and then type in Peregrinati, Peregrinnatti, you will find hours of beautiful harp music that you can just play in the background and be calmed with the music that David may have played for his sheep at one time or another. So as we share this half hour, join me and enjoy the sounds of David's harp. Good morning. Another episode, number 130. Anyway, we're still here in Florida. So things are moving along in the right direction, slowly. Reminds me of the text of waiting on the Lord, and again I say wait. So, and we do have faith that He is in charge and things are going as planned. So many times our timing is not His timing, and we have to learn to trust Him on that issue. That's probably one of the hardest things, certainly one of my hardest things to deal with. Anyway, last Sunday we were down at my son Micah and his daughter, his daughter is Isabel, his wife is Angela, son Jacob. They wanted us to come down for a belated birthday celebration for my 70th birthday. And so we were down there at their place, and they said, "So you're ready for your gift?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Well, come with us. You're gonna get your birthday gift." And I said, "Well, what is it?" And she said, "Well, you have to find out. It's a surprise." And I said, "Well, am I supposed to dress a certain way or something?" And because they are close to the beach, so I'm thinking maybe it's something like that. And they said, "Yeah, you probably should put your swimming suit on." So we went down, and as we walked up to where they were taking me to, it was a booth that sold parasailing experiences. So Shirley and I got to go parasailing. And if you look at the picture at the front of this, you'll see a picture. If you look real close, you'll see it, Shirley and I, dangling in the breeze under a parachute being pulled by a boat along. But one reason why I wanted to talk about this is because when we were up there, they have 1,000 feet of rope that is tied to you, and the longer the rope, the higher you can go, and they're limited by the FAA regulations that they cannot go take us any higher than 400 feet. And so by the time we get to the end of the 1,000 feet of rope, we're up 400 feet in the air under this parachute. And as we rose and rose, the sounds got quieter and quieter until finally, as we were sitting up there at 400 feet, the view was amazing. We were off of Clearwater Beach in Florida here, and the colors in the water, and at one point we went over a shark that was swimming along. And but everything our perspective changed dramatically as we were up there at 400 feet. Everything was quiet. It was just a gentle breeze flowing by. The view was incredible. And from where we had been in the boat pounding along on the waves to where we were up in the air just floating along quietly was like being in two different worlds. And I was thinking about that. As we were up there, I was thinking about it, and I put some further thought as we came home that evening, that how interesting it is and how true it is that our altitude can determine our attitude. Now, when I was a kid in high school, I was taking flying lessons, and one of the things that they would pound into our head was our attitude, or the angle of attack, or the angle of the wing, would determine our altitude. So our attitude determines our altitude, but our altitude determines our attitude. And very interesting interplay there. And so I was thinking, you know, in the Psalms, I took the word lift and put it into the search on Esword. And amazingly, quite a few texts came up. But two that I were thinking of are ones that I've put to music. The first one that I'll read here is Psalm 121. It's a song of degrees, or what we call ma'alot, or coming up. I will lift my eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from Yahweh, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved. He that keeps me will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Yahweh is my keeper. Adonai is my shade upon the right, my right hand. The sun will not smite me by day, nor the moon by night. Yahweh will preserve me from all evil. He will preserve my soul. Yahweh will preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. It was interesting, a little experience I just had a few minutes ago before I started this. We were taking my father-in-law to a meeting, and a fellow came out with a mask on, and he shook Shirley's hand, and then he goes, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that." And here he is, this mask on his face. It's, you know, this last 3 years are behind us. We've known by study after study that the masks don't do any good. We've known that our natural immunity is the best. And then all of a sudden this man is fearful. And I quoted from Scripture. I said, "Do you realize that Scripture says, 'Fear not,' at least..." Somebody told me at least 365 times. In other words, every day of the year there's a Bible text that says, "Do not fear." And that is most important, I think, for us during these times when there are many within the media and other sources that are trying to get us to be fearful. Because if they can get us to be fearful, then they can get us to be controlled. And so I reminded this gentleman that we should not be fearful. We should not let these things that the news is telling us control our lives. We need to walk forward in the confidence that our heavenly, just like David here in this psalm, says that he will watch our coming out and our coming back in forever. You know, he shall preserve us. He will preserve us from all evil. And like Shirley did a t-shirt that quoted one of the Psalms that used that word "all." And she put a little phrase there: what is there about the word "all" that we don't understand? because our Heavenly Father says all, and then he says do not. What is it about those words that we seem to forget so many times because the world tells us that what our Heavenly Father tells us isn't true? So we have to make a decision here. Are we going to believe the world, or are we going to believe our Heavenly Father? That is one of the major defining choices of our life. Who are we going to believe? Like Paul said, whose fool are you? Are you going to be a fool for the world, or are you going to be a fool for Yeshua? Because if we follow Yeshua, the world is going to think we're crazy. If we follow the world, we'll stand before Yeshua one day and he'll say, what's the matter with you? I gave you instructions. What happened? Matthew 25 gives a very clear picture of what that's going to look like. When he said, when you've did it to the least of these, you've done it to me. And if you haven't done it to them, you haven't done it to me. And so that's our defining line. That's our dividing line. That's where we make the choice that decides where we end up in eternity. Do we follow the world and the people of the world that seem to be more fickle than ever as time goes on? More lies have been shown these last 3 years than I have seen in my lifetime. And as we get past it, we look back and we see them for the lies that they are. It amazes me that people are still trusting these sources, because they've proven themselves to be unreliable. And our Heavenly Father has proven himself to be reliable in every situation. Sometimes it takes a while to see it, but when we get down to the end of the road, we do see it, and he is ever faithful. Like the psalm here says, even forevermore. So I'm going to play the music of Psalm 121, and then we'll come back for some more comments. Thank you. will lift my eyes to the mountains. You know, I've heard several different ideas on that text. Some say David was saying he would not be looking. He's asking the question, do I lift my eyes to the mountains where the false gods were worshipped? But I kind of like to think that David, because he spent his time out in nature, he recognized every time he looked up at the majestic mountains around him that it was a testament to his Heavenly Father's protection over him. And so his idea, I think, was that as he lifted his eyes to the mountains, he was reminded of his Heavenly Father's taking care of him. And the idea for sure is the lifting of the eyes. If you hear some sounds like airplanes behind me, it's these airboats that are heading out on the lake. So hope it doesn't disturb too bad here. Anyway, if you've ever seen any of the ads on the Everglades, you always see these airboats scooting along in 2 inches of water. And they like to do that around here too. Anyway, let's go on to Psalm 123, which is another one of the Psalms of Ascent. Remember, the Psalms of Ascent were coming up to Jerusalem, and the priests coming up on the steps of the temple. And so it all has to do with lifting, coming up, raising our sight beyond our current circumstances. And so Psalm 123 starts out almost the same way as Psalm 121, a song of degrees. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon you, O Yahweh, our Elohim, until he that has mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Yahweh, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. So you can see here David is bemoaning essentially the idea that as he looks around him in his current circumstances, he sees a lot of people that are not walking in their Heavenly Father's commands, not even recognizing Yahweh as their Heavenly Father, but appealing to the gods of this world. And so David once again appeals. First of all, he's declaring that he will lift his eyes so that the things of this world will not be what gets his attention. And then he's, I believe, encouraging us to do the same, to lift up our eyes to the one who dwells in the heavens. Now, it's interesting, our Heavenly Father, he says that he dwells in the heavens, but he says the earth is his footstool. And so he has that ability to be present wherever he is needed, whenever he's needed, and to understand what it is, what our need is at all times. It's an amazing thought to realize that we have this Heavenly Father, this being, this one who desires to have relationship with us, who is constantly available to us under all circumstances. The real trick, if you want to call it that, is that we have to lift our eyes. We cannot allow what is happening in this world around us determine how we feel or what we see or what we believe or how we believe. It is essential that we lift our eyes, that we enter into that higher realm of the heavenlies, of our Heavenly Father. It's not something that can be done in the natural world. We can use the mountains to remind us to lift our eyes, like David does in these Psalms that we've just quoted. But in the end, it is our duty, shall I say, to not be overcome by the world, because our Heavenly Father, Yeshua came to the world, the only Son of our Heavenly Father, who He said, I and the Father are one. He overcame the world, and He said, because I have overcome the world, you now have authority to overcome the world. So let's listen to Psalm 123, and then I'll end up with some comments at the end. So there is Psalm 123, the music from it, and I've always enjoyed these Psalms of Ascent. I do have that full album of the Psalms of Aliyah, and if you go to the website, calmingharp.com, it is available there, either CD or MP3. So I wanted to kind of close out with this idea. A friend of mine, Kelly in Colorado, writes a blog every few days, and the current one she called Keeping the Word of His Patience, in which she was encouraging. She's going through some very difficult circumstances in her life. And in the middle of all that, in calling out to the Father, what's going on, He reminded her that not one of the experiences she's going through is for nothing, and encouraging her to be strong and stay patient, because He has a plan in mind. And another friend of ours in England and her husband just put out a video that also talks about nothing is wasted. So many of the things of our experiences, we go, oh, Father, this seems like such a waste of time, such a waste of energy and resources. And I've prayed that prayer sometimes myself. And every time my Heavenly Father comes back with the words, you would not be who you are or where you are unless you had been through what you've been through. So in many respects, what we're experiencing is a training ground. Somebody said it's a boot camp. It's getting us in shape for what our Father has in mind. You know, He did Psalm 139. He created us with a specific things in mind to make us ready for the things He wants us to accomplish. Like Esther, who knows whether you come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so the key is to hang on and to finally hear the words that Yeshua said. I believe it was Yeshua. I didn't look the text up. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Blessings. So I hope you've enjoyed our time together. Stay tuned, as I say. Little pun. I have many more songs to share with you. I have more to share about how this all comes together. And I pray that you will share and help people, especially those you see stressed, especially in these times that we're going through. Bring people to this calming and this peace and this rest that this beautiful music of the Psalms of David brings to each of our lives. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you next week. Many, many blessings to you all today.